You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So the NFL has begun its review of the recording that the Patriots production crew captured of the Bengals sideline on Sunday. According to reports, the league hopes to make a decision on a punishment for the Patriots who admitted they violated NFL policy. It's also being reported that the league does not plan to severely punish the Patriots and is also inclined to believe the Patriots' explanation for recording the Bengals sideline. Fox Sports NFL analyst Greg Jennings joining us this morning. So, Greg, are you inclined to believe the Patriots' explanation here?
Absolutely not. No. The only thing that I believe is that they understand that they broke the rules. Period. Like, period. Shannon, I was listening earlier, and you made a point or a reference to players versus teams. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to kind of go down that road, too, because as players, if you get fined one time in the league for socks or uniform,
sure.
You get fined one time, it's $5,000 or whatever it is. The next offense you have, there's no explanation that you can give. There's no explain. There's nothing you can do that will tell them that they're not going to fine you again. And guess what, Jenny? That fine is then doubled.
Yeah.
It doubles every time. So when you continue to do the same thing over and over again, they don't regress. They don't go backwards. They don't go in reverse and say, you know what? I know you knew the rules, but we're going to give you another chance. Or I know you knew the rules, and we're just going to keep it at $5,000. No. They're going to implement the rules that are set in place.
Yep.
And so the issue that I have with this is that the Patriots understand the rules better than anyone, which is why there's a phrase that's often used called toe the line. And what toe the line means, and I'll give this analogy in sport. You get as close to bending or breaking the rule or making the official or those who are implementing the rules, you get as close to that as possible. If you toe that line and if you step on that line and they don't see you and they miss it, that's on them. But it's your job to get as close to or to force the issue, to press the envelope. And that's what the New England Patriots do. Do I fault them? Absolutely not. Are they wrong? Yes, they are.
Okay, so you believe that Bill Belichick masterminded this whole concept of sending a quote-unquote film crew to Cincinnati under the auspices of doing a piece for the website, A Day in the Life of an Advanced Scout. So Belichick masterminded this whole sort of scenario so that he could surreptitiously tape sideline signals by the Bengals during the game.
Skip, when somebody doesn't want to be attached to something, they know the big picture, but it's like, but I don't want to know all the details. Don't tell me all the details. Why? Because they don't want to be attached to or incriminalized by saying, you know what? You knew.
Right.
You knew. Now, he's going to be guilty by association because he's over it all.
Mm-hmm.
But you better believe Bill Belichick knows everything that goes on in that building. Period. No more needs to be said. There is nothing that, if a player does something, if a scout does something, if an employee does something, you know who gets to find out? Bill Belichick. You know if something is done outside of that organization, but it's attaching to the organization, who's going to be the first one to find out? Bill Belichick. He's going to know everything that goes on outside and within those walls. Why? Because he is held in charge.
Why wouldn't you run the scam on the Chiefs the week before? Because that game would be harder to win than the Bengals.
Who said they haven't been running it?
Well, have they sent the same crew every week to do an advanced scout piece for the website?
But this is why it would make sense, because you would do this with the Bengals because nobody, you would think nobody's going to care. Because they are, it's the Bengals.
They were hiding in plain sight, dressed in New England paraphernalia. They said somebody else in the crew had on a Patriots t-shirt.
So why, when they ask, oh, we Kraft Productions, you work for the Patriots. You work for the Patriots. Don't tell anybody you Kraft Productions. Yeah. You work for the New England. If you're doing it for Robert Kraft, you're doing it for the New England Patriots. So they're doing it for the New England Patriots. Now, remember in 2015, what did they say? What are you supposed to say, Skip? You've heard this before, Prisoners of War, you watch all these movies. What do you give them, Skip? You give them your name. You give them your rank. You give them your serial number. So what if you get caught? What are you supposed to tell them, Skip? We Kraft Productions, and we're doing a production piece. Now, they just told them that's what they said.
Okay, they're not full-time employees. They're independent production crew hired just to do this one piece website.
So this is the only time they've used that independent
company? I don't know that.
Day in the Life, I think it's been a series, so I'd assume that they've shot the other versions of this series.
They're using that same production company. The likelihood that I'm doing pieces, and I'm going to get somebody else to do each individual piece, is highly unlikely. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying it's highly unlikely. We're doing pieces each week, Jenny, and each week we hire a different film crew. Skip, what's the likelihood of that happening?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
No, it's not very likely, because you're going to typically have one runner and you're going to send somebody that is in-house to go and meet that runner to get capture that footage.
My turn here.
Go for it.
Way more than you have. I have been down on Bill Belichick from the first day, September 6th of 2016, we started doing this show. And if you follow my history back to the other network, I have little to no respect for Bill Belichick as an all-time great coach, because he's disqualified. He has cheated. He's been caught red-hand cheating. He's been accused of taping the walkthroughs on Saturday before the first two Super Bowls that he won by executives from those two teams, the Rams and the Carolina Panthers. So now you're out to me, because Bill Walsh wouldn't stoop to do that. Tom Landry wouldn't stoop to do that. Keep going. Vince Lombardi, right. Don Shula, they wouldn't stoop to do all the things he's been accused of, all the way down to Peyton Manning saying, we never had a meaningful conversation, a strategic conversation in the locker room, because we thought it was bugged. Okay, nobody would stoop to that except Bill, as Don Shula once called him, Bill Belichick. So I'm much stronger than you are in the big picture.
Right.
But this is the little picture, and this seems innocent, and I get that the league is shrugging and saying, this is innocent to us, because it would make sense to me. You would send the film crew to Cincinnati to interview the advanced scout, scouting the Bengals, and you would shoot B-roll footage from his seat in the press box.
8 minutes.
Row two. You wouldn't shoot 30 seconds. You'd shoot 8 minutes to make sure you got the best 30 seconds.
But
that's how you do pieces.
Yeah,
you've been there. You've had.
But what I'm trying to understand, why when he was caught, in the NFL security, why did he say, can I just release this and it all be forgotten?
I don't know.
You need it. What's
funny is you are quick to pounce on them because you are so suspicious of them, because they deserve your suspicion. They earned it a long time ago.
Well, Skip, it's hard that if I know you're a thief and the bank robbed and the bank has been robbed and you in the bank, it's just hard for me to believe that you didn't have something to do with it. Now, I could be wrong, but it's just hard.
But this is the one that seems innocent to me. I don't know how she would do that piece except to send the film crew to sit in his seat and shoot down the way he's sitting up there taking notes of the signals himself. Orlando Scandrick was here yesterday and told me he couldn't remember a defensive meeting he was in as a player that they weren't telling him what the signals were. Look for this, look for that, because they're all trying to steal signs from each other.
Yes, of course, yes.
That's how it works.
But you can steal signs in baseball, but what has it got the Houston Astros in trouble?
But it was how they were stealing.
Exactly, Skip!
Okay, they were doing it electronically, right? Okay, so that was, okay.
With a camera.
All right.
If Cameron, Greg, you know,
it's a piece of technology.
I haven't really taken a camera outside of the cell with my cell phone. I hadn't had a Polaroid, mm-hmm. Look, black and white, disposable camera. I hadn't taken one of them, so I think we're a little more advanced, Skip. But the thing is that here's what's been a hard time, and everybody's like, Coach, and you hear everybody when they talk about Coach Belichick, from Chris Collinsworth to Troy Aikman, everybody, he knows everything in this organization from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows nothing. Damn, he forgot quick.
Okay, if you tried this under the auspices of we're an independent film crew and you did that, you commissioned that, this is like a Saturday Night Live skit. It's so stupid and silly that you're trying to hide in plain sight as we're wearing our New England paraphernalia, but we're actually secretly videotaping your sideline.
Yeah, think about
it. It's silliness.
Yeah, there's a playbook. If you were to get caught, this is what you say.
What did they say? If I really want the Bengals signals, I send a scout disguised as a fan because I can buy a ticket up close and personal, right up there where I can cell phone tape the whole 3.5 hours of signals to take back to break
down. But you're going to probably
get... I can do it. Why would I shoot it from the press box? It's silliness.
It's the angle.
It's laughable.
It's the same reason why the angle is terrible.
The angle is terrible.
Let me ask you a question. Why do they shoot all 22s from
exactly.
up top?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they can see everything.
Okay, but that's watching 22 men. If you want to get close to signals, I'll get you a seat down on row 10 or row 8.
No, Skip, because you can't just get the signal. You have to see what happens
behind the signal.
Okay, but that's, you can marry it up to the coach's tape.
No,
I get that. Yes, you can.
But Skip.
I know how it works. I've heard this from the inside out more than you have.
Okay.
I'm just telling you how it's done.
Okay. I'm just telling you how it's done.
I know how it's done. And again, I don't have any problem with people trying to steal signals. What I have a problem with is secretly taping a walkthrough, bugging a locker room, jamming the signals of the visiting team on the other sideline. That's what he's been accused of. And I have no doubt he's guilty of all of the above. Because he got caught red-handed in Spygate.
But let me ask you a question. What was he doing in Spygate, Skip? He was filming signals from the sideline.
From the sideline.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but if you got no problem with him stealing signals, what's the problem?
Okay, but that was a rule that Eric Mangini said, don't do it to me.
Skip,
it's okay, no, but no. I think everybody violates that rule.
Skip.
But Eric called him the week before their game at Jets and said, just don't do
Skip,
it to me.
How about this here, Skip? They had sent a memo to all 32 teams. If you're taping signals from the sideline, stop it. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick got that memo, and he still did it. So you say, well, who's that brazen? Bill Belichick, because Roger Goodell sent a memo. All 32 teams, if you're taping signals from the sideline, stop it immediately. He continued to do it, Skipper. You ask, is he that brazen?
I believe every team has tried at various points to tape signals. To videotape signals.
Skip.
I just believe they all do, but they have not tried to secretly videotape walkthroughs before Super Bowls.
This is Patriot privilege. They understand, look, we mean too much to this league. We've had too much success, and the way we go about our success is the way that most teams should go about their success. Mm-hmm. We just are a little more strategic and smarter. If we get caught, okay, we'll deal with it and we'll try to handle it the way we see fit. In the NCAA, if this were to happen, they get banners taken down, they get championship strips, they get all this stuff stripped. Mm-hmm. The Patriots get caught, nothing ever happens. So you say, you know what? It's just a slap on the wrist. It's like me getting pulled over by the police. They're gonna end up saying, oh, that's Greg Jennings, he all right.
Yeah.
You're good, just slow down.
They say that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They don't say that with me.
Because
I do the speed limit.
Do you?
I follow the rules. Yeah, I'm a rules follower.
I heard you're kind of like a grandfatherly driver.
Don't worry about all that. Don't let me catch you on the road, though. Don't let me catch you on the road. That's all I'm saying.
You guys see me driving on the road.
No shot.
Oh, okay.
In your Volkswagen bus.
We don't need to compare driving styles right now. They are reviewing the footage, though. And I think it does matter what the footage looks like. We haven't thought about that. What are they focusing on? I mean, it could depend.
Yeah, what if they're not looking over the shoulder? What if the advanced scout is not in the camera and they're looking over your shoulder?
What we're actually seeing could matter in this. So there are a lot of layers. And we'll have to wait and see what the NFL decides. No mercy.
Did you know that as many as 7 out of 10 adults wished they played a musical instrument? Unfortunately, many never do because they think it's either too late for them to start or too expensive. Musician is an online music education platform rethinking the way people learn music. It's the fun, easy, and affordable way to learn guitar, piano, bass, or even singing. Just download the app to your desktop, tablet, or phone and start playing. Musician is perfect whether you're just starting out or have been playing for years. Enjoy thousands of popular songs and expertly crafted lessons and exercises across dozens of genres. Compared to private lessons, Musician is more affordable and lets you learn on your own schedule. You'll get bite-sized lessons, easy-to-follow instructions, and exercises tailored to your goals. Using Musician to learn an instrument like guitar or piano is much better than trying to teach yourself. So, if you've been wanting to learn an instrument or simply want some help getting back to playing, check out Musician. You can get an extended 14-day free trial of their Premium Plus package at musician.com/play. That's unlimited lessons and unlimited songs on as many instruments as you want for 2 whole weeks. Just go to musician.com/play to start your free trial today. That's YOUSICIAN.com/play. No mercy.
The Cowboys have lost 3 in a row and 4 of their last 5 games. Despite this, their playoff hopes are still alive as they sit atop the NFC East, tied with the Eagles at 6-7. On Sunday, the Cowboys host the 8-5 Rams, who are fighting for a wild card spot. Then next week, the Cowboys travel to Philly for a game that could decide the division. We've been talking about that one plenty. Greg Jennings still with us. Greg, are the Cowboys essentially finished if they lose the Rams this week?
Believe it or not, no. No, they are not. And this is, if they were to lose, I still do not trust the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, I don't care who they have. And the most important thing is where they're playing. They're on the road. Mm-hmm. Like, so they have to go to the Redskins, who I think it was opening week.
Oh, so you don't trust the Eagles this Sunday?
I don't trust the Eagles this Sunday.
Okay. At all right now. Okay.
When you look, no Alshon Jeffries, no Lance Johnson. Like, Lane Johnson. You're losing so many vital pieces. And even with those pieces, Shannon, you've struggled. Mm. You've struggled even with those pieces. And so I look at the Rams. The Rams are playing good ball right now, but they have to go to Dallas. Mm. Now, even if Dallas loses, I still trust the guys in that locker room. Let's eliminate the coach for a second. I trust the guys in the locker room, the players, to get it done. And if they had 2 more games left, let's say they lost, I still trust them to go to the Eagles and take care of business. And then the last game of the season against the Redskins. I do not trust the Philadelphia Eagles, period. Hmm.
I can't disagree with him, Skip, because the simple fact of the matter is that game at the Dolphins, because you really could have put some pressure.
Yes.
You could have really put some pressure on the Cowboys. Now, had the Eagles won that game against Miami, won this game, and the Cowboys lose, I'd say, yes, Skip, they're done. Hmm. But when you look at it, they can lose and still go, they can lose this game at the Rams, go beat Philly, and they're still in first place in the division, and now they take care of business at home against Washington, they win the division. Mm-hmm. Skip, in 97, we lost 3 of our last 5. We were 9-1. We had the number one seed, we were riding high. Mm-hmm. And then 3 of the next 5, we lost. We go from being the number one seed to a wild card.
Wow.
Won the Super Bowl. The following year, we start out 13-0. We lose 2 of the last 3. Going to win the Super Bowl. Mm. So all is not lost. But
what was your record those years? Do you remember?
We were 9-1. We ended up being 12-4.
That'll work.
But okay. Skip, think about it. 12-4, you're a wild card.
Okay. So what was the other year?
14-2.
Okay. But my team is currently 6-7.
Skip, we were made of something different.
Well, you were. And I can't argue that.
But you know, the biggest thing was we didn't have to worry about our owner chirping.
Mm. Oh.
Talking about firing Mike and these players and yada, yada, yada. He just sat back in the background, Mr. B sat back in the background and said, watch this. Mm. And now you'll be able to write this story.
Mm. So, I've mentioned this before, but I learned my football from Bill Walsh, Tom Landry, Don Shula very early on in my career. And the first thing I learned from any of those great coaches was, it's very important to catch fire late in these seasons. You were there with your team.
Absolutely.
You have to, something has to ignite in mm-hmm. your locker room and then on your sideline and in your huddle and on the field.
Yep.
Where all of a sudden, you can't even put your finger on the good part of it, the way Dak says, I can't put my finger on what's wrong.
Right.
But when it goes right, it just goes contagious mm-hmm. right. And usually history shows you, you need to catch fire late
yeah.
to make a big run. Now, sometimes if you've won a lot of games early, you might have a lull, you might hit a slump, mm-hmm. but you can jumpstart, you can reset
right.
because you already had a reservoir of good,
right.
a good feeling mm-hmm. that you built through the year.
Right.
My team has built no reservoir. It has one quote unquote signature win over the team you don't trust. And the team I don't have a lot of respect for, the Eagles, who have enabled my team all year long to play with no urgency, no real emotion at kickoff. They just sort of go through the motions, and it usually gets them beaten.
Mm-hmm.
If they get beaten badly by a suddenly hot Rams team, I'm just not sure you can dredge back up enough confidence to even go to Philly and win that game, because history would scream to you they won't be able to. Mm. Because at some point, you lose all faith in anything you're trying. Who are we? Do we run it or do we pass it? Can we defend anybody? We couldn't stop Jeff Driscoll or
Mitch Trubisky.
Well, I don't even call him Mitch anymore. He's Lamar Trubisky to me, because that's who they turned him into.
Skip, at some point in time, yeah. Skip, think about this. They were thinking about putting Josh McCown in, the backup quarterback right. at receiver. Right. Skip, you can't keep trotting out right. three tight ends and Greg Ward.
And no. You don't think Dallas knows that? You don't think
yes.
they're watching Monday Night Football and they see the breaking news? Alshon's gone for the year?
Right.
Hey, we're golden again.
Right.
We're good. We don't have to. We don't even need the Rams game.
Right.
What if you get embarrassed at home? I don't know. Can you dredge any confidence back up to go to Philadelphia?
Because,
I've never encountered anything like
because
this
Because what you said, and it might be true. They might not feel they can beat anybody, but they can feel they can beat hell out of the Eagles.
Okay, maybe. And I thought that from the start.
So it doesn't matter.
Okay, but here's, you want my worst case scenario? Mm. Is that they do. That let's say they get blown out by the Rams. They somehow go and beat those damn Eagles. And then they come home and play their arch rival and they lose to Washington. And
but
Washington
is suddenly
playing pretty well.
But they still will have won division to get a home playoff game.
Okay. Yeah,
yes, because all they got to do is because once they beat Philly.
Yeah, that's two over
right.
Philly.
Now if Philly wins, yeah, they'll still win. They'll still.
I got to look at that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the math on that one.
The issue is
because
simply,
they have a better division record.
The issue is Philly. Like it's not even really Dallas. It is Philly, and they're in you. Everything that you said about your Cowboys is why the Cowboys still feel like, well, we're good because Philly's even worse off.
Right. Mm.
They're even worse off. Mm. We at least have all our horses in the stable.
Yeah. I got it.
Philly, what do we have to fight with?
Shannon, wait a second. On the math on that?
With
my scenario, Philly would finish 8-8, and my team would be 7-9 if it blows the game
to
the Redskins.
And you,
I think they would just lose.
Oh, you say lose two of the last three.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you would only win one game
right.
at Philly.
At Philly.
But you would have lost you had lost five of the last six games.
Right. Five of the last six.
That could happen.
Because
I wouldn't be shocked
crazy.
At all.
Dallas just got to finish with the same record as the Eagles. And because they would have swept the Eagles, they would have won
the
division.
Yeah.
But yes, if they lose this game,
they're both 6-7.
Yeah, Washington, Philly would win because they would win this game and then win the last game.
What would be essential to the Cowboy victory
right.
formula would be win at Philly and come home and take care of the Redskins.
Correct.
Which might not be an easy task because, to your point about Philly has to go there, they're playing better. They're legit.
They are.
They're running the ball.
They are.
Bill Callahan has them running the
right.
football now. They're not just dropping it back and throwing it 35, 40 times.
I respect Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
And I covered his Raiders team that got to the Super Bowl. And I know they got annihilated and embarrassed in the Super Bowl by John Gruden, the ex-coach of the Raiders. But he's a good football coach. And I think they really play hard for him.
Hmm.
He's an offensive line coach by trade. But he's a pretty good CEO of a team, too.
Interesting.
So is it... You don't think the Dallas Cowboys really plays hard for Jason Garrett?
They do not play hard for Jason Garrett.
So.
And they needed Philly to force them to play hard. And Philly still can't force them to play hard because there's no more Alshon. And I don't know if Aguilar's going to come back. You say, who cares?
Come back and do what? Drop
and passes? That's my point. Like, even with their guys healthy, if Alshon was healthy.
I'm with you on
if
that.
If Nelson Aguilar was healthy, if they had every – outside of DeSean Jackson, if they had all those guys – I still don't think that they would beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. I told him earlier, I needed Philly to win 44-0 over the Giants on Monday Night Football so that my guys would watch it and say, uh-oh, we better get real.
What you really needed was them to beat Miami.
Okay, I needed that.
And that would have forced them against Chicago, and that would have forced them against last week. But since they lost that game,
Force some urgency.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. And they've been saying we're good for like 10 straight weeks.
Because they lost two games. The Eagles lost one, and we're still tied. We still get to come to you guys and put you out the playoffs. That's how Dallas is thinking.
That is true. Mm.
Because anytime you can control your own destiny, you feel like you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
I don't got to hope anything. I don't got to hope nobody beat Philly.
Exactly.
We can take care of Philly when we see them.
Okay, so, again, my point I've been making to you all along is if my team loses especially badly to the Rams, which is possible,
okay,
the point spread's screaming they are going to lose badly. Well, then what evidence will I have? I keep asking you, what is my evidence? What do I see with my eyes that would convince me to have faith in them to go to Philly? Well, the only faith I have is Philly.
Watching Philly.
Okay. And
they got to put somebody out there, Skip. They're running out of people. They're going to start pulling guys up the street to come catch the ball from Carson Wentz.
It's not a good sign. Maybe the fact that they're underdogs, though, will serve
maybe
as motivation.
But if anybody can do it, I'm walking to him, can you?
Yeah.
You saw what he did Monday night in the rain.
He was bouncing.
Oh, that old walking
long.
To him.
Yep.
I said, look here, you got to live up to your name.
Yep.
And he literally started walking to him in the mat. He walked that thing to Greg Warden.
I can't throw the wet football, but I'll just walk it to you.
Okay, right? What about the one he hit Greg Warden in the end zone? Hit him in his hand.
Yeah.
And he
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought he was in the circle the way he was juggling the ball. Yeah,
you got to catch that.
I saw him hit Zach Ertz twice in the end zone because nobody covered
Zach Ertz.
He finds Ertz. And I don't know why.
They find a way to get it done.
Well, you'll get a chance to see why next week. You'll see why they can't cover.
One thing Dallas can do is they can actually double cover Zach Ertz and make it hard on him. I don't know. They've always
You can because they got nobody else to take that pressure off
him. They took him away the first game?
Yeah, for the most part.
It was reasonable.
Okay,
yeah,
I
mean, they got two home games left. Dallas, just get... Just get one of the home games and take care of Philly.
I want to know what the vibe is like there, Jerry World, nowadays. Jeez. Okay, Greg, so nice to have you. As always... No mercy. It's no secret that the Patriots have struggled offensively this season. They rank 15th in total offense and 23rd in rushing yards. And Boston sports radio station WEEI sliced up the blame pie for New England's struggles. Bill Belichick and director of player personnel Nick Sirianni were given 30% of the blame. Tom Brady was given 20%, followed by offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels and the offensive line getting 15% each. The wide receivers and running backs were each given 10% of the blame. So, Shannon, is this the right way to divvy up the blame?
No. And what I'm starting to see, and my grandfather used to say this all the time, he said, boy, people will never divvy up credit correctly like they will blame. Now, I've never heard anybody, when it comes to winning these Super Bowls, mention anything about the offensive line. I've never heard him mention the running backs. I've never heard him mention wide receivers. Everybody's told me that Tom Brady can make everybody, any receiver, can go play with Tom Brady and do big things. Here's your chance, Tom. Now we want to get blame. Blame. Now, how much in these six Super Bowls, how much credit do you think, I just want to know, and I want you to turn it back to me. In those six Super Bowls, do you think WEEI gave Tom Brady 20% of the credit?
Is it my turn or what?
I just asked you, Skip, I said.
Are you asking the wall or me?
Skip,
I don't know. You're looking at the wall and I don't know if I'm supposed to answer.
If I answer, you might say, I thought it was my turn.
I think I know where you're going.
No, hold on. If WEEI, if I were to ask them, do you win these six Super Bowls, are you giving Tom Brady only 20% of the credit? Yes or no? I'm asking you. Is WEEI going to give Tom Brady 20% of the credit?
I can't speak for WEEI. I don't know, but I assume it would be much higher than
20%. Why? So why you want to give him much more of the credit, but so few of the blame? I'm confused here, Skip Bayless, but it's not your turn yet, so I'll let you.
What am I doing over here?
Because
I should just take the rest of this topic off. I'll see you in a little bit.
The way I look at it, Skip, if he gets lion's share of the credit, shouldn't he get lion's share of the blame? Now, this defense, while I don't think it's historic, they're still number one in scoring by a long shot. But Tom Brady offense is 30th in scoring since that 8-0 start. 30th. So the last five games, they're 30th. That's pedestrian, Skip Bayless.
My turn?
It's easy to say, well, I just want to know, Skip, because see, what you told me is that Chris Hogan wasn't that good. You told me that Amendola wasn't that good.
No, I didn't. I love Danny Amendola.
You told me Chris Hogan, get him out of here. You told me last year. You told me to get out.
Now you're putting words in my mouth.
You told Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan? Who is he?
I told you he could run. 7-11.
But now you want him.
Always open.
Okay, so now you want him.
Yeah. I mean, he ran 4-5.
Ah! So, look, Skip, of course, when you lose Gronk, Gronk is arguably the greatest tight end to ever play. Mm. There's no replacing that. Mm. But look at what he won the Super Bowl. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, I'm going to let you have it after this. You take as much time as you need. They were down 28-3 against Atlanta. There was no Rob Gronkowski. He had Julian Edelman and James White. But there was a guy that never played another game that had 5 targets, 4 first down catches, Malcolm Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did anybody say, oh, Malcolm Mitchell, he's a must-have? After that, he never played another down.
Got hurt. Had a knee injury, couldn't play anymore. I thought he was really good.
So all I'm asking, if you want to give Tom Brady only 20% of the blame for these woes, you must only give him 20% of the credit for those yoes.
Mm.
Take it away, counselor.
That was deep. I don't know if I can follow that.
You can't.
I'm not going to give 20% of the blame to Tom Brady. I'm going to give 15% because I'm going to give 75% to the guy who deserves it. The guy who buys the groceries and cooks the meals, Bill Belichick. What did you tell me before? He knows every move this team makes.
He does.
Every little move.
Every.
He is responsible for that roster from top to bottom.
Bottom
includes Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah.
Who was actually had a big role in this offense until he got hurt and is on IR. I never thought I would see the day where Tom Brady would miss Gunnar Olszewski. Mm. He was actually playing a lot of wide receiver for the New England Patriots, as well as giving him a little spark as a punt returner.
Yeah.
He's gone. We miss you, Gunnar. We needed you. I think Brady picked him out of the crowd before a game and said, you, what's your name? Gunnar. Oh, okay. Come down here, Gunnar.
Yeah.
One of those guys. So here's the point. Bill Belichick had to see all this coming because you can't go forward with a group of wide receivers with an aging Julian Edelman as number one, and he now leads the whole NFL in drops. The Patriot receivers as a group lead the whole NFL in drops. And you cannot, if you're Bill Belichick, the greatest coach ever, you cannot replace Rob Gronkowski with timeout. Matt LaCoste?
Skip, you're not replacing Rob. Replacing Gronk.
Well, give me somebody. Benjamin Watson is going, he's just about to turn 39 years of age, and he was a late addition because it was going to be Matt LaCoste, cut twice by the Giants, once by the Jets, and once by the Broncos, and Ryan Izzo. Matt LaCoste, and now he's hurt and he's gone. Really? So this is it? This what? The Patriots receivers in catches as a group are 31st in the NFL, and in touchdown catches are dead last in the NFL. Guess what? The running game that was so strong through the playoffs, it led the whole playoffs in rushing. It is now 23rd in the league in regular season rushing. Why is that? Because all of a sudden, the offensive line that used to be made into miracles by Dante Scarnecchia is a bunch of replaceable parts, not spare parts, all of them replaceable, including Isaiah Wynn, the left tackle, who was just a disaster against the Chiefs the other day, and he's the only first-round pick in that group.
I find it so ironic that you said an aging Julian Edelman, but you have yet to say anything about an aging Tom Brady. Mm. And therein lies the problem. Mm. Because he...
I thought it was my turn.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. I didn't do that to you, but okay. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. So, again, here's Tom Brady thrown into an offense in which you can't pass protect, you can't run it, and your receivers as a group right here, right now, to me, rank dead last in the league. How would Patrick Mahomes fare in that offense? He would be a disaster. He would be trying throws that would be intercepted left and right. And
he's just throwing away like Tom Brady does.
Well,
lead the league in throwaways.
Because he has to. There
are
two kinds of throwaways. There are desperation throwaways where you got to throw it away or take the sack, or there are Aaron Rodgers memorial throwaways in which you look and look and say, I don't love this. I don't want to risk an interception. I'll just throw it over there. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. Yep. If I go rob a bank and I just want the money for myself,
okay,
or I go rob a bank because I got a loved one that has a medical emergency, which one am I going to go to jail for, Jenny?
Mm.
Both of them.
Mm.
So throwing the ball away is throwing the ball away. Mm. And I'm not going to let you get off the hook with it, Skip Bayless. Mm. You say Aaron Rodgers threw the ball away, Tom Brady is throwing the ball away. Mm. Call it what it is.
Aaron Rodgers' protection is 10 times better than Tom Brady's. Now, as you pointed out the other day, it got so bad that Steve Spagnuolo said, they can't block anybody. Let's blitz Tom Brady every time because no receiver can separate. So we can just go play press. Yeah. Let's just go press all of them because they can't separate.
Everybody's doing
and Tom
that.
Tom Brady's on his heels the whole time, having to throw it away to save sacks.
Skip.
Really?
But see, Skip, that's what I've been telling you all along. Hmm. See, you look at Julian Edelman, but because he's not Julio or one of these top-flight receivers, you say he's nothing. Mm. You look at a Chris Hogan. Mm. You look at these guys. I say, Skip, and I've been trying to tell people, I say, those guys are better than you think. Mm. Now you get
By the way, I don't know how many times I sat in this seat and back to the old show saying Danny Amendola is one of the great clutch receivers we've ever seen because he caught some balls from Brady. Some of them weren't great throws, but he would go snatch it on 4th and 10. There was one game at the Giants, I remember, where it was 4th and 12, and Danny Amendola just went and snatched it out of the air. Because he had clutch hands and he had a wavelength with Tom Brady that Brady doesn't have with Jacoby Myers. Mohamed Sanu, acquired by Bill Belichick at the trade deadline, looks like a bust to me. He can't separate. Yeah. N'Keal Harry, picked by Bill Belichick in the first round, he played a grand total of 2 snaps on Sunday. Please help me out. Why was that?
Skip.
He's the only electric player they have on the roster at receiver.
But you know, in Coach Belichick's tenure, they've never value receiver. How many years did they make Danny Amendola take a pay cut just to stay on the roster? Mm. And finally, after he's like, that's enough is enough. I'm not taking a pay cut. I'm going. He's a free agent. And he went. He went to Miami. I think he went to Miami first, got money, and then when he ended up in Detroit. Mm. But Skip, that's what I've been telling you. Mm. Everybody says Tom Brady can make anybody. Mm. Well, if he can make anybody, make those guys.
Well, he's struggling to do that because he's hitting rock bottom.
But Skip,
and by the way, you spent this whole show telling me just how much quote-unquote criminal genius that Bill Belichick has.
Yes.
He can be a criminal genius.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't he now be sabotaging this roster because he wants to get the 42-year-old out of there? Does this not smell of sabotage to you? Boy, it does to me.
Smell like a guy getting old on the job.
Really? You know, smells like a guy that Bill Belichick is saying, I'm going to make it where nobody could survive.
You know, there are a lot of jobs that after you reach the age of 65, you got to go. Whether you're in great physical condition or not.
Really?
Yeah, some jobs you got to go.
Maybe somebody's pride is on the line across the table.
Ain't no pride.
Somebody's been saying he's got to go for 3 straight years.
It ain't my pride on the line. You see your guy sulking on the sideline? You see your guy? We got to do our jobs. We got to get open quicker.
He might be going home to his wife saying,
crying.
That coach is trying to
crying.
Beat me in.
He's crying.
Just maybe I might have to go somewhere else and stick it to him next year.
We'll do that.
Yep.
You ain't going to stick it to nothing. It's over.
Okay. Yeah, just let him go to the Chargers next year and see what happens.
I think that could happen. Oof.
Oh, yeah. You're
going to do that very well.
What do you do with a Keenan Allen?
The dynamic between Belichick and Brady will forever be the most fascinating relationship around here. No mercy. Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys in 1989, and even since then, he has also been the general manager. Yesterday, when asked about his role with the team, Jerry said it only made sense for him to be the GM since he has final say on all decisions. Take a listen.
When you can cut out the person between the decision maker and the people doing the recommending, then you can make quicker, more succinct, and more responsive decisions. Nobody ever has had the final say but me. Now, you know, I really don't like to say that, but that's a fact. And so when we don't do good, we all know who the ultimate total responsibility. And pro football, the guy that ultimately has the responsibility for paying the bills, makes the decision.
Shannon, do you like that Jerry said this?
Yeah, like you said, but he's not saying anything everybody didn't already know. Mm. You see, Skip, the thing is, Jerry says, I don't like saying this. Yes, you do. That's why your card has owner, general manager, VP, Gerald Jones, a.k.a. Jerry. Mm. You like telling people that. Skip, Jerry is very unique, but he's not unlike most wealthy people. He who has the most money is the smartest. See, Jerry equates everything to money. I pay the bills, I'm smarter than you. I pay the bills, I make the decision. I got no problem with that. So what does that mean, Skip? Mm. They losing Jerry. Why you keep stepping on a red? Mm. Jason Garrett. Mm. See, that's not what you're doing. See, when things go well, you see, I'm the decision maker now. I make all the decisions. I cut the check. But when things go bad, Jason Garrett, oh, yeah, I'm not saying I talk to Urban, but I don't get me wrong here now.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to.
Right, exactly. So Jerry wants it both ways. But Troy Aikman laid it out so elaborately. He says, Jerry is, things are not going to change. Jerry's been doing it his way. Jerry's set in his ways. He's steadfast. He's stubborn. So the likelihood of him bringing somebody in there that could help him along the way is not very good. And until that changes, I don't see much in the Cowboys changing.
Mm.
I don't either.
Mm.
I don't either. I know it hurts me because I like Jerry. Mm. I looked at my 8 ornaments that I got. 8 straight years I got ornaments until I started working with you.
Mm.
You.
You still put them on the tree?
Yeah, I got them up there now.
Then the real you came.
That ain't no real me. Ain't no real me. This was the real me. Mm. And then you. You caused me to deny I haven't gotten an ornament in 3 years.
Good. Love it. Small consolation.
I want to see these ornaments.
For my 6-7 record this year. You got to give Jerry this. He just said publicly, hey, when we don't do good, the responsibility falls right back here. He just said, blame me for everything. Mm. I'm in total control here. The buck stops here. I make the final decision on every little thing. So, again, he just said, heap all the blame on me.
But you
don't
do that.
That's what he said.
But that's not what you do. You dump on Red. You dump on Jason Garrett. Wow. Everybody dumps on Jason Garrett. That's what Jerry's saying. But that's not what he says when he's talking. Mm. He ain't talking about stepping down. Well, I've been making some bad decisions. He's talking about being moving more in the front.
Mm. So, he said yesterday exactly what he said from that first press conference in 1989. I'm going to know everything in this organization down to the jocks and the socks. He still does.
Yeah.
All these many years later. And remember, you got to give him this. They did win the division in 2014 and 16 and 18.
Yeah.
So, they've won those three divisions. Now, again, that doesn't mean playoffs. That doesn't obviously mean... No, it's been since 1995 since they went to the NFC Championship game.
Mm.
That's pretty shameful,
yeah.
I got to admit.
Huh.
But at least it's going well enough in those 3 years that he can say, well, we got something going here. And I'm sure Jerry reads all the Pro Football Focuses who continue to this moment to rank the Dallas Cowboys the most loaded football team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They're 6-7. Where's the disconnect there? Well, Jerry says, I built it. I built the best team in the NFL, but they're not playing that way. So whose fault is it? Well, right now he's thinking it could be that coach's fault.
So let me ask you a question, Skip. You build a boat. You hire somebody to drive the boat, but the boat won't float.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the captain's fault or is it the guy that built the boat?
I don't know. It's kind of a bad analogy.
I know.
He built the team, right?
Yep.
He built the team. Mm-hmm. He said, I want responsibility for building the team. He hired Jason Garrett.
I hear you.
Okay, Jason Garrett.
But it's pretty easy to go hire somebody to plug a leak in the boat. Very easy. You just go find some guy and he goes underneath and plugs the hull.
It won't float.
They've got a couple.
Because Jerry didn't make it right. His architectural skills are not up to what they need to be.
Oh.
Yeah, he needed to take some...
So he built a great boat that won't float.
Yeah, that would have happened.
That yacht.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard to do, actually.
The Titanic was a great boat. What happened?
It hit an iceberg.
Yeah. It disintegrated.
Okay, well, it was still a great boat. It hit an iceberg.
Yeah, okay.
And on that's a problem, right? For any boat.
Well, he should have built a cutter.
Okay, well, you could argue that. But the point is... He has elevated Will McClay, who hasn't done just pretty well in the draft. He's done great.
Unbelievable.
In the draft, right?
Yeah.
They are a loaded football team because he keeps...
But that ain't Will McClay. That's Jerry.
Okay, well,
Jerry says he make every decision.
He's putting it.
He has to stamp them yes or no.
But hold on, Skip. See, Jerry, Skip, here's the thing. But look, if all you do is just stamp, okay, what are you actually doing? Will McClay, it's the scouting department, mm-hmm. and the scouts is doing all the legwork. Mm-hmm. Jerry gets the stamp and take all the credit.
Mm.
That's what he wants, Jenny. Mm. He wants to just come in, get all, guy, everybody does the legwork. You see what I built?
Okay.
I cut the checks.
What did I tell you was a move that changed life in Dallas, Texas a year ago at the trade deadline? Amari Cooper from the Raiders.
Right.
Has he had some issues this year? Yes, he has. Did he change life last year and some of it? Yes, he did.
He changed some life this year, too.
That is true. So, Jerry Jones, I give full credit for somebody told Jerry, hey, Amari Cooper's available, and Jerry probably asked his scouts or his people, his analytics people, Zeke, because I don't think Jerry really knows whether he's that good or not.
No.
But when somebody said, oh, Jerry, he could be really good with Dak.
For a first round?
Yeah. He went and did the deal.
Right.
He forged it through just the way he went and got Charles Haley for Jimmy Johnson, mm-hmm. and it changed life.
Right.
Because Charles Haley was the catalyst for not one or two, but three Super Bowl wins in 4 years.
Because, Skip, you got to realize Amari Cooper was on a rookie deal. Yep. He had been to two Pro Bowls in his first 3 years.
Yeah.
So you're like, hold on. And the guy, what, was 25?
Yep.
So
I think he wasn't 25 yet.
Yeah, he might be 25 now. Yeah. So he might have been 24. So you're looking at it like, but huh? Skip. Jerry is not about the day-to-day of the football operations. There are people that are scouring this, looking at other players that could potentially be free agents. Mm-hmm. Jerry's not doing that.
Okay. So what do I tell you? Every year it has to happen. Once he builds the boat and he puts it out there.
Yes.
Or a yacht in this case. It's like a billion-dollar yacht.
That $250 right? million he didn't win the yacht.
And then it's up to Jerry. It's up to the team to win in spite of the coach and the owner.
Yes.
And that's what they did in 14, 16, right. and 18. They just detonated
right.
for various reasons. 2014, it was about Tony Romo throwing jump balls to Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
And it worked, man.
And DeMarco Murray running, having the season of his life.
He led the league in rushing. You were right. And then in 2016, it was about Dak Prescott falling out of the sky and about Will McClay convincing Jerry, you know what, we don't need Joey Bosa. We actually need that running back at Ohio State. Mm. And I didn't see that one coming. Joey Bosa went
three.
You know, yeah,
he went three to the Chargers.
So then here came Zeke.
Sure.
And I thought, well, you're okay at running back, but now you're great at running back,
because
right?
Because they had the kid from Arkansas.
They did.
I forget his name.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of him either.
No,
he had 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he had 1,000 yards. Yeah. But they said, we want to make our strength even stronger, mm-hmm. because they saw what happened the year before with DeMarco Murray.
They did.
Well, they say Zeke Elliott is way better than DeMarco Murray.
Yep.
If he can do that, and he almost, you know.
So those two kids said, watch this, and they lifted them to 13-3 and a near playoff mm-hmm. win over Aaron Rodgers. Darren McFadden. That's a good one. Yep. And he was pretty good.
He got 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
But you see Zeke come in and missed the last game of the season and went for 1,600.
Hey, when Darren McFadden was at Arkansas,
he was special.
Dominated the SEC.
Well, you remember him at that game against LSU?
Oh.
Where they didn't throw like...
Ran wild.
They were,
I mean, he looked Peyton like Hillis. Zeke looked at Ohio State.
He, Peyton Hillis, and the Cowboys took the other running back in the first round.
Okay.
I forget his name.
Yeah. So the point is that each of these years... something happened where they could take off and win in spite of the head coach and the distraction that can be the owner general mm-hmm. manager. But again, he's building a pretty good boat every year, except this year it sprang 20 leaks. And all of them are almost inexplicable.
But you said something, you're like, okay, they have to overcome, you know, have to win in spite of. But at some point in time, Skip, it keeps getting harder and harder to overcome your coach and your owner.
It does. So the talent is still there,
yeah.
and it still could take off, but it's going to be, it won't be Jerry's doing that it takes off. So he's trying from afar to motivate it by turning up the heat on the head coach, and it's unmotivating it.
And the thing is, Skip, the head coach is, well, like you said, he keeps his head down, so he's really not paying any attention.
Mm-mm.
It don't move him.
Nope.
He's already resigned to the fact. He realized that once I didn't get this contract extension at the combine.
That is true.
I was dead man walking.
Right.
So now you're trying to motivate me. Now that ain't working.
That is true. And I believe in his heart of hearts, Jason Garrett knows he'll get another job in this league, and it very well could be the Giants' job, and he would be happy with that.
Yes.
Because he's from that neck of the woods, uh-huh. and he would love to coach the Giants, and I will not be surprised if he is next year. So what does he really care about what's happening right now? Is he coaching for his life? No, he's not.
Because he knows he has another life.
Yep, that is correct.
That is such a weird dynamic. Mm-hmm. So who cares? The players, they're the only... Well, and Jerry?
I can't tell the way they play it if they
care. Jason, the waking up and just, I don't know, knowing that it's the end and your coach talking about you every day, it's fascinating. If you guys were talking about me and I didn't know about it, I would not be happy. No mercy. Kawhi Leonard will make his return to Toronto for the first time since leaving for the Clippers this summer. Kawhi will also be receiving his championship ring from the finals run that he took the Raptors on last season. So, Shannon, how should Kawhi be received by Raptors fans?
They shouldn't show up. They load managing until the playoff. Now they're cut of their game here, Jenny. You know what, Skip? He did win them a ring. The likelihood of them winning another ring is not very great.
No.
So... when that moment, the ceremony, yeah, Kawhi, Kawhi. But the moment that ball jumped up and he touches it, Buddha breaks off it.
Really?
Yes.
He doesn't really have any breaks.
Well,
you
Buddha.
Can't stop it.
Yeah, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You said, hey, we sure ain't heard about no new king of L.A. lately. Have you heard that talk, Jenny?
I
heard no talk lately.
I haven't seen
that
commercial either.
Yeah,
have you seen it?
They're saving it for Christmas.
No, okay. Yeah, your day coming, Chris. Your day coming.
Smart.
So here's what's going to happen tonight. Toronto fans will and should cheer Kawhi Leonard like crazy.
The whole game.
Celebrate the whole night
long. Are you crazy?
They know exactly what happened. He got forced into a one-year layover on his way to his hometown of Los Angeles, and they benefited hugely from it, even though it took the luckiest shot in the history of the playoffs, Game 7 against Philly, and even though it took KD going down and Klay going down for them to win it. They won it, and it's never going to happen again. I'm sorry. I know it's, I'll give it like a billion to one shot of happening.
Wow.
But it happened. The fans who should continue to boo Kawhi Leonard are the Spurs fans because he did quit. He flat out quit on them, and we wound up with DeMar DeRozan.
Okay, Skip, guess what? That one-year layover that he was forced, guess what? We cheered for his butt. Mm-hmm. So now he no longer wears his uniform.
Hey, well, it wasn't going to last. You got it. Okay. You got a championship
and
out of it.
And neither is our fandom. Yep. So I'm going to cheer when he gets his ring, but wait till he touched that ball.
Really?
Boo!
Huh. Well,
you'll
be booing the Clippers because they're going to beat the brakes off.
Siakam going off.
No, I don't think Siakam going off. Nope.
Van Vliet.
He's not good enough.
Van Vliet. Oh, don't do that, Skip.
This Clipper team is poised for takeoff.
Van Vliet.
Here we go.
Hold on. Yep. All I know is they've increased their win percentage by 2%.
2%. So weird to hear.
So when they're not good last year, Skip.
That is it for us. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9:30 Eastern.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.